Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels, Sin City Steve here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. All right, Rob Bossolari is out performing his ha-has and making everyone drink.
Right? Yeah, shit. Assignment, if it
right. You will. Right, exactly. So, what's up, Scoop?
What's up, Scoop?
All right. This week, let's start right here with the holiday bash for AEW. All right, Steve. What caught your eye on the bashing of the holiday?
Honestly, man, there was a lot of really good stuff that saw the light of day on AEW TV this week. Obviously, they continued the division between Takeshita and Okada, which, call it whatever you will, that is one of the better long-term stories that they've been telling. And I think that we will see that all come to a head at World's End. Hint, hint. And then also, of course, this past Wednesday, we saw the return of Maxwell Jacob Friedman made his return during a pretty decent promo segment with Samoa Joe, Hangman Page, and Swerve Strickland.
MJF. Yeah, I mean, two out of those three were pretty good in that segment.
Yeah, I can only wonder which ones you're not a fan of.
MJF summed it up perfectly when he said that he was an actual star who was doing movies, and it was a beautiful little shot, which I hope that Hangman did not approve that beforehand, and it was just a fucking off the cuff where that was just like, oof.
Man, he straight up buried the other three though in that promo. You know, obviously, what's going to get all the headlines is, ooh, he name dropped WWE when he was talking about Swerve. And, you know, I think that it's okay if they do it every now and then. And realistically, if you look at the context of everything, MJF didn't badmouth WWE whatsoever. He simply stated, he stated facts that Swerve Strickland did compete in NXT and also for a bit on SmackDown. Even defending the company when the crowd vociferously booed the name WWE. Right. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I mean, you did also get MJF bringing up the, how should we say this? The interesting face tattoo of Samoa Joe in TNA. And right. I should use tattoo in quotes. As if World's End wasn't shaping up to be a very solid show, this segment cemented it as being must see at this point. And here's
the big question with that though. What's the danger in the fact that you just added him? He's just coming back. He loses that match.
Who says he does?
No, I'm saying, but if he does, like if they go with, I think mm-hmm. that you should. You know, you should put it on him. Absolutely, 100%. There's no doubt. But does Tony pull something stupid out of his ass and Hangman all of a sudden wins the title?
Dude, if Samoa Joe doesn't leave World's End with the championship, MJF should. I don't think that Hangman gets the title put back on him. And I don't think Swerve walks out with the championship either. I think that they can still tell other stories involving Hangman and Swerve. And I think that realistically, you've positioned yourself in a pretty smart way. If they did choose to put the title on MJF, they still could go back to, and I know you're going to hate it. Sorry in advance, Michaels, but there's still some meat on the bone with MJF versus Bobby Lashley. And I think that that could shape up to be one of your first programs of 2026 in AEW. And it just makes sense. They were telling that story nearly a year ago with MJF trying to get into the Hurt Syndicate and getting in. And then, you know, he's there, he's not there. And you know, that whole debacle that they did. But it never really saw the payoff that we should have gotten from that. So I think that, you know, you could kind of tie up the loose end. And if you choose to, you know, have Lashley put over MJF clean, again, that does wonders for MJF stock, as if he needed any more validation. He could definitely have that if Lashley were to put him over in the beginning part of 2026.
Right. I mean, it's not like I would hate it per se, because, if you put MJF over and build him with that, that's fine. I think that works and gives Lashley something to do. So, all right. What else on the card struck your eye, man?
The thing, actually, could you do me a huge favor, Michaels? Can you put that card image back up there, please?
Yep.
All right. Perfect. So, we did see the Elite defeating the Don Callis family to the surprise of absolutely no one, leaving with the $1 million, the 750,000 pounds. We got a really solid match between Fletcher and Pac. Dude, those guys are just unreal. Fletcher, if you guys listening, go back and you listen to what we talked about to look forward to in 2025. I made mention that Kyle Fletcher would be a breakout performer this year, and sure as shit, he is. 2025 has been one hell of a year for Kyle Fletcher. I think 2026 has the potential to even be better for him, depending on how they play those cards. Now, obviously, elsewhere on the show, you had the Dynamite Diamonds Battle Royale. I'm not just going to sit here and talk up AEW like it was, you know, all sunshine and happiness and great shit, especially when this match was on the show. And quite frankly, I was left wanting, to say the very least, with this Battle Royal. It obviously, in case you're not aware, the way that it works is it does come down to the last two competitors. And those two competitors were Ricochet and Bandido. Bandido arguably has a resume for being a wrestler of the year in 2025. Amazing stuff by Bandido all year long. But he's facing Ricochet in a singles match next week, next Wednesday at Dynamite on 34th Street, which incidentally has already been recorded from the Hammerstein in New York City. I have not looked at the spoilers on that, so I am very happy to be in the dark on that one. That should be a great match. But the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal itself, oh my God, this was, I just didn't care for it. And I know I'm going to be channeling my Matt Michaels with this, but what the fuck was this? I think the thing that stands out to me, and we mentioned him already, MJF, he has won the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal and the Dynamite Diamond Ring every single opportunity that they've had any kind of a match involving that ring.
Right.
And he was not a part of this match whatsoever. The announcers didn't make any kind of comments to cover it up. And it honestly, it would be very simple because they could have said something to the effect of, you know, MJF by cashing in his title shot at World's End, he's not eligible to compete in the Battle Royal. You could make up anything. You realistically just a throwaway line on commentary, and you can give him that alibi. But as it is, this storyline that they've been doing, and the ring is synonymous with MJF's character at this point.
Yeah.
He's used it for 6 years and nothing. They just drop it out of nowhere. What the fuck? I have to be fair. Anybody who's watched this show knows I'm going to point out any of these kind of continuity issues, whether it's WWE or AEW. So for me to not mention something like that is completely hypocritical. So I have to mention that. That was the one thing that stuck in my crawl. And I know, Michaels, you hate Mercedes Moné, but on Collision, she did put over Alex Windsor clean, dropping the Rev Pro British Undisputed Women's Championship to Alex Windsor, a former Rev Pro champion in her own right. So yes, she is contracted to AEW, but she also works dates with Rev Pro. So this is a way that they can actually put that title onto somebody that's on their roster permanently. But in any event, you got a feel-good moment. Alex Windsor, her son, celebrating in the ring at the end with the two belts. It was a kind of cool showing. And again, you're taking championships off of Mercedes, leading to her eventual downward spiral. Yes, give me all of this. Let her lose every single one of those championships. That's what needs to happen in order for her to have a character change and actually show some character development. That's what is needed for Mercedes.
Yeah, or she can just go away. Either way.
Sure, I guess.
Who won the Diamond Royal?
So it is between Bandito and Ricochet.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
that's what I thought you said, but see, I wouldn't know because AEW once again has a problem. Yeah. 3 hours, and yet the freaking timers do not update in the system and expand that time frame, which WWE has never had a problem with that. So I don't get it, and I don't understand it, especially because it's been 6 years on the same network. It doesn't make any sense, and that's frustrating. And again, that's, you know, it's something that's the little things. It's like, it's not the wrestlers, it's not the wrestling, it's that kind of stuff. But at least you know that you'll be able to get a White Castle limited time combo starting December 27th.
Keep reading, because I will sure as shit be claiming one of those. One of those White Castle luchador masks.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I would love to find one too. I want to see if those are going to be available or if all of a sudden they're magically gone. Like,
so they have a website that I guess White Castle has this like big fandom and culture behind it that I had no fucking idea.
Oh yeah.
And obviously, yeah, it's stoner food or drunk food. I get that. But no, they have like clothes and memorabilia and merch and
No, the White Castle thing is no. That's big. I mean, growing up in Chicago, you know, White Castle was huge there too. But what I'm saying is, you know, a lot of times you'll put out this promo stuff and then magically you can't find it, especially here, like in Vegas. there's only a few locations. So if the restaurants aren't getting them shipped to them or whatever, then it becomes harder. So I would love a White Castle Luchador mask. I think that's fucking incredible.
Hell yeah. So I'll keep my eyes open and I'll make sure that I snag you one as well, Michaels.
Yeah, man, if you get it, I'd love one. Fantastic. All right, so Sports Illustrated came out with their list here, and their awards mainly went to AEW. No surprise, being that the other company is on ESPN. So why would they?
Here we go.
Why would they favor the company? I'm just saying, you know. I mean, your tag team of the year is FTR because they were so fucking amazing this year.
To be fair, they have been pretty awesome this year.
Good.
Their heel run that they're on right now with Stokely has been really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, except for Stokely.
What?
I just do not like him. I just never been a fan. But that's him in general. Like, you know, regardless of where he was, I'm just not a fan of his. Again, male wrestler of the year, Heyman Page, female wrestler, Mercedes Moné.
Yeah. You. I was gonna say your two favorites right there, man. Oh, Jesus.
God, it's awful. I don't
quite agree with Hangman Page being wrestler of the year. I already made my feelings known. Takeshita or Bandido for me, without question. Yeah. I do agree with the Mercedes Moné pick. I know that I'm probably in the minority on that, but yeah, it just her body of work across the board, numerous promotions, what she did this year, I think was exemplary, to be honest.
Right, except for the fact that Io Sky is a better overall wrestler.
Io Sky is arguably the best wrestler in WWE, male or female. Yeah. No qualifiers, full stop. So I totally agree.
I don't know if I'd consider Kyle Fletcher a breakout star because I think he already broke out before, but I still think Kyle Fletcher is better than Ospreay.
Potato, you know.
Yeah, to me, I would take if you're gonna say best in ring, I take out Ospreay because Ospreay was hurt for quite a bit this year now. So I think Fletcher is a better worker overall. Io Ripley and Bianca Belair. That's fair.
Yeah, completely. I would agree that, you know, that was one of the better matches that I saw live. I was fortunate enough to see that match live, but that's the great thing with these lists, man, is it's all subjective. And it is good to sit back and have fun and you know, look at what this person's opinion is or this magazine's opinion is. Because I would agree that, you know, I agree with the breakout star pick. I agree with the best in ring pick. Match of the year, you know, there are a couple of different ways that you could go with that. Keep reading because there are some things that I do have some dissension with. So,
yeah, like promotion of the year, AEW. You gotta have actually. So, what's funny about promotion of the year, I think, is kind of a dumb thing because WWE is itself, you know, just its own entity, right? And then AEW is that next level. If you're gonna say promotion of the year, one of the ones you have to look at is TNA. Then, to be honest, in the fact that they just signed a $30 million TV deal for TNA, and they've survived 20 years.
Dude, they're like a fucking cockroach, man. Nothing is going to kill them. Nothing is going to kill TNA. And it's awesome for them. The more wrestling, the better. You know, I've said it. We've all said it on this show. the more competition, the better. When the tide comes in, all boats rise. It's all a cliche, right, but it all makes sense and it all works.
Yeah, and I think that's what happens is you get just too much AEW, WWE. You know, it's like this or that. And I think that, you know, on the overall, you look at TNA and you just go, what they did this year is probably the most groundbreaking year for them in, you know, in their history of finally breaking through to a level where they're, you know, a little more recognizable, you know, with the fact that, you know, they're getting an opportunity now, which is great. Show of the year, Double or Nothing. All right.
All in Texas was that show definitely felt like their main show this year, and it delivered across the board. All In was without a doubt my show of the year, without question.
Yeah. Story of the year, Hangman Page's redemption arc. Man, go fuck yourself. Damn it.
You know, I get that. It's definitely, again, long-term storytelling that they are working on. Again, there are other paths that they could go in. We haven't seen the conclusion to the story between Takeshita and Okada. I believe that if we would have gotten that earlier on in this year, that one could be included in a best of list, but with us not getting the finish to that storyline, the payoff, unfortunately can't really count that. I don't know about this, about rivalry though. Let's talk about that one.
Moxley and anything right now just needs to not be on a list other than worst of the year.
So let me ask you this. How happy are you going to be at World's End when Marina Shafir puts the plastic bag on Moxley's head? Because that's what's going to happen.
Listen, if Renee's in the room watching it.
Oh, shit.
That would be fucking great. Does
Renee get a bag too?
No. If they do a Kimono Wanalea situation and have Shafir start making out with Renee in front of the dead John Moxley, there we go.
Hey, you know, I'm sure John and Roddy wouldn't have anything to say about that. They would probably be all okay with it.
No, I mean, considering that I personally thought their match was one of the most boring things on fucking Dynamite.
Notice how I didn't talk about that match.
You just look at chemistry sometimes and you go, oh, this is just hard to watch. And you know, Moxley's going to get the point anyway. And Roddy's like got no points in the tournament. It's just like, oof. And it's so, brutal. Yeah, I hope there's something going on, but you know, in terms of rivalry of the year, there was so much more this year.
There was. And even on the same show, you could easily have gone Ospreay Fletcher because they did have some great matches. That cage match, by the way, realistically speaking, I would say that cage match probably is up there for me for match of the year, by the way, just as a bit of an aside. Rivalry, let's call it what it is. Tony Storm and Mariah May.
Yeah.
That was in the first half of 2025. Hollywood Ending was a phenomenal send-off. I mean, you could go that route as well. There are several different ways that you could go.
Yeah. Heel turn, Naomi. I mean, you just go Cena, please.
Yes.
Even if the story didn't flush, I mean, an actual heel turn, that was a great heel turn.
It's not about the fallout from the heel turn, in my view. It's about the actual heel turn itself, which that's the name of the fucking award. So we're aligned on that, man. Cena's heel turn. It wasn't just newsworthy. It broke the internet. You know, there are very few things that happen in pro wrestling that do that. This was one of those things. You couldn't go anywhere online without seeing memes or clips or anything of that nature of that extremely viral exchange with Cena turning heel. Say whatever you will about the inclusion of Travis Scott with it, but the fact is that was newsworthy in a sport that, as we look back at 2025, business is not where it was at the start of 2025 at the end of 2025. So that was, you know, a very, very pivotal moment in the year as well.
Yeah. Comeback performer of the year, Ilya Dragunov.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that's great. But again, one of the hardest things about this is that time frame. He's only been back for about 2 months.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's tough for me to say. Yeah. Best on Mike, Tony Storm. Sure. Why not?
Consistently. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
And, you know, and make pussy jokes all you want. And there you go. Win the Mike of the Year. Legacy Award, John Cena. I don't even know what a Legacy Award is.
That's probably their version of like a Hall of Fame or a Lifetime Achievement Award. So, but yeah, realistically, you could sum up 2025 with John Cena. I mean, for WWE, their entire year revolved around the send-off for Cena, for better or for worse. And completely, say whatever you will, it was very polarizing the way that his career ended. But I think I firmly believe that he was given carte blanche to put over whoever he wanted in whatever kind of a method that he wanted. So you can't fault him necessarily for the matches that he had, because he more than likely chose every single opponent.
Yeah. Since you said it, John Cena explained why he smiled tapping out. Quote, "I envisioned something beautiful. Saturday far exceeded whatever was in my heart and soul. I know I'm out there one last time. I'm out there, and they hate the guy I'm working with. They universally cheer me. That is fucking rare. For the last 5 minutes, everything I preach about story, drama, and having a conversation with the audience, the ones I love are in the front row. I know my colleagues are watching on the monitor and back. We're just in a sleeper hold, but we're having that conversation with the audience as I essentially take my last breath and have struggled. You think of somebody, the natural causes scenario, or however we picture loss in our life. All of us have been through it. They struggle and struggle, but they hang on just long enough to make sure to say goodbye to everyone that is meaningful in their lives. The whole day was so many meaningful and vulnerable conversations. Then you realize I've connected with everybody I love physically. I feel great. I think it's time to take that last breath. I hate to keep going back to obituaries, but this person died peacefully. Cena told Cody Rhodes on What Do You Want to Talk About? There you go. You know, very simple. And, you know, again, it's like all these complaints on shit like that. It's like, you just don't realize again that, you know, you want to talk all you want about wrestling and wrestling matches and the competitiveness. But when you're talking about the true entertainment aspect of it, that's it. That's what John's thinking right there. He's fucking, this is it. I'm saying goodbye. He's putting me to sleep. He's literally fucking lethally injecting me. And that's what I got. I got a smile on my face because I'm at peace with my fucking career being over.
Exactly.
That's it. Very simple, very poignant. And, you know, it's absurd that so many people, you know, cry and complain about shit when it's like, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, not everything is meant to end the way you want it to.
Exactly.
That's it. You know, again, I want to see Mercedes Moné, you know, fucking just go. But that's not how it's going to end, right? She's not going to disappear. So, you know, what am I going to do? I'm just going to fucking scream about it and rant about it and write memes about it and then fucking go and then just fucking DM her inbox and be like, yo, I like, why won't you go away? You fucking suck. Blah, blah, blah.
And the thing is, that wouldn't surprise me if you actually did that.
No, it would be surprising if I actually did that, but you know that. But it is, you know, it is such a. That's the hyper, you know, universe we live in now, where, you know, and that brings up this. You know, Priscilla Kelly had to come out and put out a PSA and say it is highly inappropriate to send personal mail or things to me to sign to my personal address if I do not know you on a personal level. And PSA number two, it is highly inappropriate to find my personal phone number and text me, call me, especially with vulgar, inappropriate messages. So, you know, that's it. It's like, we're at this point where it's like people just, you know, they can't live in fucking a reality of, hey, these are just performers, man. That's it.
Exactly, dude. It blows my mind, people entering into these parasocial relationships where, you know, it's completely one-sided and, you know, the viewer knows seemingly everything about the person of interest, but newsflash, they don't know shit about you.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. Like that's just the kind of dichotomy that we found ourselves in with this type of fan culture that is just running rampant. And you see it in the streaming world, the online content creation world. We see it with pro wrestlers. Good God, how long have we had people waiting for people at airports and outside of hotels and inside of hotels just to get autographs and all sorts of shit, going up to people of interest while they're eating dinner with their family or maybe they're in an amusement park? Fact is, there have been numerous people that I have not walked up to, introduced myself to, gotten photos with, because I didn't want to overstep that boundary. And unfortunately, yeah. I realize I'm definitely in the vast minority in terms of pro wrestling fans, in terms of seemingly just content creation fans. Just treat people like they're human, man. That's all that it is at the end of the day. Don't do anything fucking creepy. Don't hang out outside of someone's home. Don't send someone mail to their personal addresses. Don't do this shit. There are some lines that you just don't cross. Period. Full stop. End of story.
Yeah. And that kind of shoots back to also the places out there that need to get hits on their websites. And Tessa Blanchard had to put out a little thing this week. I'm not perfect. Made plenty of mistakes in my life. Racism is not one of them, nor has that ever been in my heart. An incident from 10 years ago has continuously gotten twisted into something that race had absolutely nothing to do with because of social climate. I'm tired of being used as clickbait. Move on. And that's the big key right there, the clickbait. And it's like, whether or not the comments, you know, were meant to do harm, were meant, you know, out of context, this, that, or the other, the fact that people still use that to get their monetary value off of it, that's the thing that's just kind of mind-blowing. And, yeah, we'll see what the climate is in 2026. All right, so Fightful has confirmed that NXT North American Championship change tonight was an accident. There was said to be a scramble backstage when the mistake occurred, with creative changes now needed for several talents. Blake Monroe lost the title to Thea Hale in what looked to be a wind knocked out of her situation, to be honest. I think that
coffin drop.
Yeah. And then, of course, the next day, brilliant that Blake said, change your fucking ass header, WWNXT. I mean, just genius, and also Steelers not champs, Penguins not champs, Pirates not champs, DMD not a champ, but Thea is a champ. So, Thea goes back with us here to when she was 18 and headed to NXT. It's great to finally at least see this moment play out and see what they do with it to make a correction, if they do make a correction. We'll see.
The thing that I'll mention is, if you go back, because, you know, all bullshit aside, I don't watch the NXT show on a weekly basis. I just don't. But I heard about what happened, so I went back, I watched the match, and yeah, plain as day, 1, 2, 3. Obviously, there was the uncertainty of, like, what the fuck just happened? But then the crowd, man, crowd absolutely loved the fact that Thea Hale finally wins a big match.
Yep.
I think that you ride this wave of momentum. You let her have a little bit of a run and see how the crowd reacts to her. The crazy thing with pro wrestling, so many great things in the history of wrestling have come out of organic things or things that shouldn't have happened, or one of those just random occurrences. This is another one of those random occurrences. I don't think that they should make a snap correction. Like the report that they had to make immediate booking corrections and, you know, scramble, all that kind of stuff. Come on, man. Just roll with the punches. Let her have at least a few weeks with the championship. See how the crowd reacts. If they don't grow tired of her immediately, fuck it. Why not? Let it run.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think the scramble backstage was they had to do basically an interview segment because they didn't have it pre-taped. So
exactly,
you know, that, I mean, that was the scramble, I think, in terms of changing. Yeah, you have to change what you had laid out for a couple of weeks. That's, you know, it's you have to to listen to that crowd reaction, but even more so. I think one of the biggest things was that the crowd realized that they weren't going to somehow come out, restart the match, do something. They weren't going to cover it up. They literally saw a ref count 3.
Yep.
And they, for the first time, I think the fans were kind of shocked at first because it was like, so quiet. I'm like, wait, what? They're giving her the belt. Holy shit. And you could see Blake too. Blake played it. She played the shock in her face. She played stunned. I think in some ways, when you take that kind of hit, and it comes, you know, when you're kind of coming back into it and now the situation's happened, et cetera, it just fucking worked for her, you know? And that's the other thing, you have to give her credit in terms of now it becomes more interesting with that character, losing to Thea Hale. Now she becomes even more of a fucking psychopathic bitch than just having Thea lose that match. So you know, sometimes the organic happens, and it's beautiful to see. Okay. This happened this week. Mick Foley put out a parting ways with WWE over Trump's comments regarding Rob Reiner's death. This was a choice in, you know, Mick's personal decision. He just does not appreciate the relationship between the two. And when his legend deal is done, he will part ways. And at this point, he's doing no more appearances under the WWE banner. So then someone asked Kevin Nash to make some statements on this. And I think this was a very... very well said thing. Mick Foley bailed, and I was just like, man, I understand it. And if that's how Mick feels, I get it from Mick's standpoint. But for me personally, because I had some people text me like, you going to follow suit? Let me explain my position. Paul and I drove up and down the road for a year and a half. Paul was the first of the clique to hold T, Nash's son. He gets with Steph. I was at their wedding. I was one of Paul's best men. I was in the wedding. When I was Diesel, they flew my wife up to New York City, and Linda took my wife out for the day. That was my wife's first visit to New York City. While I was busy doing a commercial, doing some other things, Linda took care of my wife. I'll forever be grateful for that because my wife was really nervous. I look at the McMahon, Levesque. I look at them as family. Like, that's it. They're just family to me. Linda knows that my political view, what my political views are. And I remember we were at Barclays Center. It was priceless. The look she gave me, like, you fucking liberal. And she just looked at me. She goes, ah, he's okay. And I went over and gave her a hug. And I asked her how she was doing. It's like, they're my Republican family, you know, but they're family. And I think that's a logical way to look at it. And then there's Val Venus, former WWE star Val Venus. He is a communist, but I still love the guy. So, I mean, so, you know, I mean, again, this is the great aspect. And it's all about, again, the respect for Mick.
Yeah.
Great. Val can say something like that, and it still comes down to respecting Mick. Kevin can say that he respects Mick, but he, you know, he has, again, what I think a lot of people kind of lose. And that is, hey, listen, they're like family to me. And what has always been the key rule at family get-togethers? Don't talk politics. Hey, so, you know, it's in Mick, you know, it was in tone with Trump, who unfortunately is not with us tonight because he's off at the bonfire having his little comedy show.
Making people laugh or groan.
And definitely
or both. Then,
yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, I think that, this is what it's supposed to be. Hey man,
yeah,
you're standing up, you're taking a stance, based on, you know, something you feel passionately about, but not once in Mick's thing did he say what I think is the big key here. And that he never said anyone else should do this.
Yes, exactly.
You know, he's just like, for me, this is it. I'm good. And that's it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing here.
And that's the completely respectable part of it. You know, I think that peeling the curtain back without peeling the curtain back too far, you and I have had some very, very interesting discussions because we do have very different beliefs in certain things. We do share some beliefs. But the fact is, at the end of the day, there's a respect there. And I think that we need to get back to that as a society. For, you know, all of the tribalism that we talk about with pro wrestling, yes, there's been this vehement tribalism across political lines, where now, you know, if you think a certain way, oh, well, I don't even want to talk to you. You're dead to me. Blah, blah. Right. Fuck that. How is that productive as a society? How are we going to be productive and truly coexist? Realistically, we won't, unless we can actually understand where people are coming from and realize, hey, I might not share the same opinions as you, but at the end of the day, those are your opinions. You can definitely have the freedom of speech to, you know, make those viewpoints heard. And I will fight to the ends of the earth to make sure that even if I don't agree with something that you believe, I will fight for your right to voice those opinions until my dying breath, because that's how it should fucking be at the end of the day.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's absolutely true and well said. That's the best thing about that. And again, celebrity, you know, doesn't mean that you're trying to influence in any way. It's just you're a human with an opinion. You just happen to have lots of eyes on you because of what you do, whether it's, you know, whether it's high profile, this, that, or the other. It just comes along with being high profile and, you know, being able to get your opinions out there. And speaking of opinions, all right, over and under this week for AEW.
All right, man. So long story short, we are wrapping up the Continental Classic this week. So as I had mentioned, the cards for Dynamite on 34th Street, which airs Tuesday, December 24th. So, just, you know, a couple days or whatnot here. And then also Christmas Collision airing on, wait a minute. Okay. So first off, fuck Post Wrestling, because I'm reading this shit right from their site. Okay. And it says airing Tuesday, December 24th. So of course, you know, I'm Ron Burgundy and I'm just going to read the shit. So of course, that's airing on Wednesday, December 24th. And then Christmas Collision is airing Thursday, December the 25th. Anyway, we're going to be wrapping up the Continental Classic as at World's End. We're going to have the semifinals and the finals that are going to be taking place. Our over-under for this week, if you just look at the number of matches that are going to be out there, as of right now, dude, we have no joke. What? Nine matches.
Jesus.
Nine fucking matches left. So I haven't seen the breakdown, but the thing is, on Dynamite, they've already announced. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Robert, for picking up the Anchorman reference. But shout outs to you, sir. And then, so as far as this goes, they've already announced that we're going to have a face-to-face interview with Jamie Hayter and Chris Statlander on Dynamite. They've already announced that we're going to have the finals for the Dynamite Diamond Ring Battle Royal, which literally is going to be a one-on-one contest between Ricochet and Bandido, which should be fucking great, by the way. And then MJF is slated to wrestle in a job match. So he's going to be, you know, beating some local talent from New York. That'll be fun. So they've announced a lot of stuff for Dynamite. They haven't announced shit for Collision. So I'm going to say your over under is, I'm going to say, over 5.5 matches on collision in the Continental Classic, because why not? Let's just load up Christmas Collision with the C2 and let's solidify the C2 as being the best round robin tournament in professional wrestling. Sorry to New Japan Pro Wrestling and the G1, but I think we're seeing a bit of a shift here. And I think on Christmas Day, we are going to see over 5.5. So realistically, at least 6 matches in the Continental Classic.
There we go. All right. Time to take a little social media dump here. What do you do if Goldust pulls up to the rec center? Play some basketball with him, yeah. Oh, man. So, anyway, that's why we're not allowed back at Applebee's.
Dude, legit.
Yeah, we've all been there. When she said she didn't have a type and then you meet her ex.
Oh, shit.
Jimmy Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Fuck.
Oh, man. What I look like in my mind, what I look like in the Target self-checkout camera.
Dude, facts.
Yeah.
Those cameras, man, they pick up the absolute worst.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Speaking of Undertaker, there's Paul Bearer with his former tag team of L.A. Knight and Brian Cage.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's a crazy image, dude.
Yeah, it goes back to Universal Wrestling. It goes back to Marquez and Hollywood back in the early 2000s there. Female PE teachers now, female PE teachers in the 90s.
Grab the hammer, Valentine.
babe, I just got my new swimsuit. What do you think? My brain. Don't say Andre the Giant. Don't say Andre the Giant. Oh, man. 50-year-olds in 1985 versus 50-year-olds in 2025.
Bro, what the fuck? Like, that's completely, completely how it is now. It's unfucking real.
Right. I mean, I the sexiness in B. Arthur over Trish Stratus any day, man. I don't get how, you know, you can look at Trish Stratus and go, man, I would totally fuck her before I would fuck B. Arthur.
I mean, I guess the older the berry, the sweeter the juice. I don't know.
They're the same age. They're 50. Come on.
I know. It blows my fucking mind, though. Because it's not just things like that. Let's be real. I've noticed it myself. I know what age I am. And I know when I look at photos of my dad when he was my age, I'm like, and I've told him this, I'm like, dude, you are ancient and we're the same fucking age in this picture. What the fuck? And it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe all those preservatives and all the bullshit that we're eating in our food now. Who knows?
Oh, it's the steroids and all the beef and all that shit, I guess. I don't know. Who knows? But I do know that that's hot.
Good Lord. Hey, Liv.
Oh, Liv.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit.
Oh, Mandy.
Mandy.
Good God.
My God.
Before and after shopping at Hot Topic in the 90s. Oh, man. Brett looks like he just let one rip and the woman behind him smelt it.
Dude, that half smile on his face is fucking great. It's like he either took a big fucking fart or he just commented about Bill Goldberg and he's upset.
Wait,
about it.
Oh, shit. When mom says you have to invite Bill Goldberg to your
birthday party.
you know, though, you make fun and you harass them and really they're good old Christmas buddies. Look at that. The Hanukkah guy and the Christmas guy getting together in the same place thanks to virtual reality.
Gotta love. Dude, we got to show the AI next time. Instead of getting that image, we got to get the AI.
Right. When it's my turn to do Elf on the Shelf, Bret Hart putting the Elf in the Sharpshooter. Hey, look at that. Stone Cold stunning the Christmas tree. And, of course, The Rock hugging a rock Christmas tree, or rock around the Christmas tree. What do you want for Christmas? I want, it doesn't matter what you want for Christmas, The Rock as Santa.
Oh, God.
We're here, Santa Claus.
North Pole, we're here.
Yes. Of course, Kurt Angle drinking Santa Claus's milk.
Hell yeah, dude.
And The Undertaker giving Santa Claus a tattoo.
Right on the last
year. I hope he's giving him a tattoo, unless something else is going on in that photo.
And shout out to Taker rocking that Desert Heat tattoo shirt too for the Vegas tattoo shop.
Yeah. Yeah. And if Santa Claus is having something else done to him here, he'd end up being a ho ho ho. Oh, just like Paige.
Dude. Oh, Paige. Soraya.
Don't worry. He'll see her at the Rumble.
Yeah, of course. She'll be there. And she'll have that banging entrance music, bro. I don't care what anyone says. She had one of the greatest entrance themes. I'd say easy top 10 of all time in WWE. And when you hear that, the opening like shrill sound of that song, the pop is going to be insane. It'll be fucking insane.
Yeah, I agree. Kane asking the kid first time on the naughty list. And speaking of kids and their Christmas list. Oh, man. And look, this kid got what he wanted for Christmas.
Nintendo Bro, 64. That was my look on my face when I got a Nintendo 64 for Christmas. Okay. Sure. Like, it, dude, yeah. Such a good game system, too. So,
Of course. The front of the Christmas tree, the back of the Christmas tree.
Helicopter, helicopter.
And of course, every time Ric Flair woos, an angel gets his wings. And of course, for you, Steve, and myself, that's enough Christmas music. Play some NIN.
Play some Nine Inch Fucking Nails, baby. Let's go.
But of course, the biggest image from the internet this week has to be this one right here.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Really?
I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to look at you and Sammy and just go, man, I don't know how Tay Mello fits into this whole thing, but.
Oh, God. Nice job with the Photoshop, though. Nice job.
Oh, it was horrible. It was a horrible quick Photoshop. I mean, your head is very close to just being his penis.
Yeah.
I could have gone that way too. Now that I'm looking at it.
Oh man. Oh no.
All right. Well, on that note, Rob is doing comedy, and he'll let you know next week where he's doing his comedy at.
Go follow him at Vegas Trump Guy, by the way.
Yes, you can do that. Then you can know where his comedy is. Next week, we'll have a little recap of the year. That's what we'll do next week. And Steve, how would you like to wrap things up here?
All right. Really quick, I just want to say thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country. Whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic, thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And hey, you know, Andre the Giant, gotta love that. And anyway, last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%.
Oh, yeah. Save yourself 10%.
Oh,
Well, until next week, everybody. I think
they held back on a lot of what they could do.
Yeah, we did, Uncle Dave. Sorry, Uncle Dave. Sorry to disappoint you, but I know one guy who was very happy with the show.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry, dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.